warrant for our assembly this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 10 is the text verse, and I'm going to use the word departure. The departure of Demas. The title of the message would be Departure of the Faith. We have in Colossians 4:4 and Philemon 24. Those verses tell us that one time Demas was faithful, standing with Paul. But he left for a more worldly liberty. The carnal desire was in control, giving up the best for less, the easier road, as it may seem. There may be a difference, a slight difference in using the word departure or the word forsaken. Forsaken has another definition, is the same as deserted, but the definition for departure is the one I like, is the act of going away from a set course. And that's what Demas did. He was on a set course, and all of us this morning are on a set course, but we can depart from that course and go our own way. And that's what he did. He went his own way. We have another account given in Luke 19, 21 and 22. Jesus asked a young man to sell what he possessed and give it to the poor. And he said, and then you can be perfect and have treasure in heaven. But it said that this young man went away sorrowful. His possessions kept him in a sorrowful state. Demas, he left on his own. This man was asked to leave what he had. But both of them were lacking eternal life. Giving up all for Jesus has the best and greatest results. Moses, as an example in Hebrews chapter 11, of leaving these things behind. 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect the recompense of the reward. There is a great difference in that kind of a testimony than the one that these others had. Mark is another example of departing in Acts 13:13, but who later regained, as we read in this scripture, a useful place in verse 11, in God, the useful place in God's kingdom. What peace and joy this brings when those come back like Mark did. It may It may have been the compassion and love that Barnabas showed that helped to make the difference in his life. It was because of Alexander that Demas left. If you see what Paul wrote about Alexander, it may be this had may had some impact on that. Too much to put up with. Alexander was a Jew. He was a religious Jew. He was a professor. But he was a destroyer of the faith. That's the one of the things we have to guard against today, those that profess religion. They may be a destroyer of the faith, even though they are a religious person. What effects had the departure of Demas on Paul? He had no one, he said, to stand with him but God, the Lord. He maintained a right spirit. He maintained a forgiving spirit. This is what must be to stay on the foundation. If we can't maintain a loving and forgiving spirit regardless of what happens to us, if we're all of us leave, all of those leave us, you have to maintain a right spirit. Paul had that. He was an example of it. And we must have it too, or we'll be swept off of the foundation, which many are today. They're not on the foundation anymore. But he kept right on proclaiming the message, regardless of what he had to face, relying on the Lord that he stood with Paul. He had the help to testify to a sinner, a wild sinner like Nero, just like Elijah testified to Ahab and John the Baptist to Herod. They were fearless and unashamed of preaching the whole gospel to those wild, sinful characters. In the first chapter in 2 Timothy, we have two men mentioned. It says, "This thou knowest that all," in verse 15, "This thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes," men that turned away from the truth. We have a character in the Old Testament by the name of Job, having a similar experience. All his friends, his family, and all forsook him. Job 19:19. Jesus had the same experience. All the disciples left him in Mark 14:50. Judas, one of those, loving this present world like Demas did. Materialistic. Jesus, you know what Jesus said about that man? He said it would have been better if he'd never been born. I trust that Jesus would not say that of any of us here this morning. It would have been better if he'd never been born. But many people are fitting into that category today. Sorry to say. We cannot be involved with departure from the faith. That cannot be a part of us, or we'll never make it to our heavenly home, but must have a true confession of Jesus Christ to reach the Father. Matthew 10:32. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Those are verses that should be real to us, or we'll never reach the Father. It's not a practice in our life. Being divided is involved with departure. If it is a husband, a wife, children, our relatives, doesn't matter who it is. If it's anyone in our family or in our relatives that would help us to depart, we'd better cut our earthly ties. Amos 3:3 says, "How can we walk together except we be agreed?" Psalm 55:12. for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. That's the verses we need to imply to guide our lives aright. We have a man by the name of Ahithophel who was in the time of David. He sided with Absalom. He was with a wrong crowd. And he gave advice and it was rejected. And it was so overwhelming in his life that he went home and hung himself, it says in 2 Samuel 17:23. If we don't bear the cross, departure will take over. Are we cross bearers here this morning? How many of us are here this morning that would say we are not a cross bearer? But that's where we need to find ourselves. Our departure will be our portion. No one is exempt from cross bearing if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. But you know, many would like to be. Many would like to be exempt from cross bearing. How many of us this morning would like to be exempt from cross bearing? You know what it may mean? It may mean arrest, persecution, death. We may have to face some things that we never thought of we'd face before. That's what it might mean to be a full cross bearer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always identify with the cross of Christ, Galatians 2:20. We need to be empty and poured out to be a cross bearer. Only this brings full enjoyment. 1 Peter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise. That's what he's saying. As Christ hath suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That is what it's asking of us. Nothing less. We need to give ourselves over totally and fully to those kind of scriptures. Because it's for Jesus' sake. And it's everlasting. It'll give us joy. We may be trapped by the world and do the opposite like Demas did. You know, this life must bring meaning to us. This life must be something worthwhile. If our involvements are not meaningful and are meaningless, where will we come out at? We'll come out the same place as Demas did. How much this morning would we say of our life is meaningless? Is our life more meaningful than it's meaningless? We better have to make that choice to know where we stand before God. If we are worldly minded, we have to blame no one but ourselves. If we're worldly minded. Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That was saying a lot. Peter was so sure. And this morning we have to be so sure that we're not in the world and we're sure that we're in Jesus Christ. Peter was so sure, but he found out he wasn't as sure as he thought he was. And departure set in. When self is in control, then we rely on our own strength to become bold, proud, and the bottom drops out. We fail. This is the trap that Satan has set to put us to sleep spiritually. And nothing else happens but departure from the faith. Not being fully committed, we will deny Jesus. That is departing. And we are saying we don't belong to him. We can never trust ourselves. Let's trust Jesus. Trusting ourselves will destroy us. Are we caught with the language of the world? Matthew 26:73. Does our speech betray us? Do we talk out of both sides of our mouth sometimes? I knew people that could talk with the world, and when they talked to a spiritual person, they could talk spiritual. Just switch from one to the other. Do we allow pride, self-control? If we do, what'll happen? We'll hit the bottom. And when we hit the bottom, you know there's only one way to go. That is up. Standing is easy with the right friends. What is our testimony when we're alone? What is it? What is our testimony when we're alone? Do we have a problem standing alone? But if you have a problem standing alone, let's look at Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels. If we have that verse riveted in our mind, we should not be ashamed. We should not have any problem standing alone if that's what it takes. Let's not stay at the bottom with remorse and regret when there is no hope. And there is no hope. But there is a better way. Let's look at that. 2 Peter 3:3 speaks about scoffers. Scoffers are in the unbeliever class. When our interest is lost, then we're headed for the same place as they are. Where all unbelievers are headed. That's where we're headed for. 2 Timothy 3:2, being lovers of ourselves instead of God, it says. Being lovers of pleasure. Lowers ourselves. You know, we may become a church member without any power in our lives. We must be those that endure to the end. But without that power in our lives, we'll never be able to endure. There is no endurance possible without any power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. To have forsaken all. Luke 14:33, that's what it takes, having forsaken all. The testimony of those that endure is we cannot hold much, but we can overflow lots. Is that our testimony this morning, that we can't hold much, but we can overflow lots? That need to be our testimony. That overflowing power within wells up. That's the power that takes us through this life into endurance, into the end to Jesus Christ our Lord. A true disciple has a mind that thinks right, a heart with fervent love, a voice that speaks gracious words, a hand that gives a willing help, willing hand and help. Loving this present world was the cause of departure for Demas. What about us? Will the cause of this world be a departure for us? Being guilty of something we have
done or not done, and are not willing to make it right or confess it.
Rejecting God's promise, we have nothing to offer. Not willing to consider the cause of Christ because of wrong attitudes. This may be the summary of worldliness in us. A survey was taken of the typical American, and it said that not many Americans read much. And what they do read is not uplifting or spiritual. No help for the spiritual life. Our minds being influenced by materialism and the pleasures of this life, we become bored with the Word of God. How many of us this morning become bored with the Word of God? Bored with the Word of God. Church attends is not interesting. Is this morning church attends, is that interesting to us? Or isn't it? If the Word of God and church attends is not interesting, there's something wrong in here. You better need some guidance to get correction. Being interested in, there's no interest in the eternal, the hereafter. Death is not thought of. Hell, the grave, or heaven, out of the mind. No interest. You know where the interest is? Possessions, sports, entertainment, computers, internet, drugs, vehicles, and such like. Worldliness is the deadly enemy of all mankind. It's like rat poison. You know what rat poison is like? It's a slow process. Finally ends in death. That's how worldliness does to the child of God, and I believe it had that effect on Demas and other Bible characters we could think of that had the same effect on. And many people today has the same effect on. It's in the church too much. That's why we have departure. Departure from the faith in God, because of worldliness having a hold on us like rat poison. It just finally takes us down to death. Anything that hinders God's working is worldliness in some form. Do we believe that? Anything in our life that hinders our Christian experience is worldliness in some form. The opposite is doing all for Jesus. We have received all from Him. Why not give Him all? What do we have this morning that we didn't receive? We have received life and breath, or we wouldn't be here this morning. Breath. Without that, we're nothing. Why is it so easy to accept the fashions of the world? Why is it? You know why? Because we're worldly minded. That's why it's so easy to take on the things of the world, because we're worldly minded. We live in a ripe worldly civilization. A ripe worldly civilization that is ready for the judgment of God. You know what ripeness borders on? It borders on decay. We know well enough, if we do not harvest something out of the garden or the field, that it will finally decay and go to nothing. It's no use to boast about the building when the foundation is collapsing. And going in decay. We must build on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation that can never be destroyed. And He shed blood to keep ourselves out of the rot of worldliness. The world will cool our love for Jesus Christ so fast we hardly know what's happening. And that is what has happened in many cases. Our love for Jesus Christ has cooled off. So it's a slow process. And there we are, out in the world where we didn't think we're going to be. If we were put on trial for our Christian testimony and experience, our life that we live, would there be any evidence to convict us? Would we be able to be convicted because we're one of Jesus Christ's disciples? Would the evidence be available? You know, the world won't claim us if we're in Christ the way we ought to be. We give a clear, genuine testimony. They'll never claim us. They say, you don't belong to our group. The testimony of John Newton was, he said, I don't go any place unless I can take the Lord Jesus Christ along. If we try to serve Jesus Christ in the world, we're going to fail. If you listen to the now generation with the imperfections and the incompleteness, we become worldly minded. And that's where many people are at today. They're listening to those kind of people. The now generation. What do we want to be like? The believers that keep the word of God or those that don't keep it? The Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That we have in 1 John 2:15. And it also says we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:14. It also says that we're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have in 2 Timothy 2:4. But it does say we're to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:1. And it also says that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking forward to Jesus Christ coming. That we have in Titus 2:11. Seeing that blessed, looking forward to that blessed hope. We also have in Hebrews 12:1 and 2, laying aside the weight of sin that does so easily beset us and run the race with patience. And in verse 3 it says, we're look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. The natural race runner only wins the race when he gets rid of all the weights that it speaks about in Hebrews 12:1. That's the only way that we can endure, or we'll end up in departure. The only way the spiritual runner will gain the crown. Weights that easily upset us. I don't know if you, how many of you ever seen pictures of Charles Atlas. Man with nothing but muscles, that's all you could see in the picture. Man of vibrant health, nothing could ail him. But no spiritual significance whatsoever. In my time growing up, the Dusick brothers in Lancaster were three brothers. They were wrestling champions. Oh, they were also muscle men. No spiritual significance whatsoever. If we follow those kind of things, we'll end out in departure. Weight Watchers may be in the same class, only thinking about the physical. Nothing wrong probably with weight watching. But what about our spiritual weights? Are we watching those? Those that easily upset us, those weights that drown out the spiritual life. Spiritual watching, fitness, or wrestling. Do we come out at the same place as Jacob did in chapter 32 in Exodus? He wrestled with God.
He had to put away some weights. And he came out of that wrestling with a limp. Oh, proud Jacob had to be put down. And he limped the rest of his life. Those are the kind of experiences that we need to have with God, alone with Him, to come out right. Spiritual watching, fitness, and wrestling is not overdone in any of us. Do we believe that? We are not overdoing the spiritual wrestling and making ourselves fit before God and watching those worldly weights. Are we striving to keep our spiritual watching, fitness, and wrestling on the plus side? We must to endure, to not end up in departure, to overcome worry, complaining, lack of love, fleshly desires, worldly lusts. Oh, some people are experts at watching weights, birds, other people, the law, and all such like things. Experts in that. But when it comes to watching what the spiritual person needs, it's lacking. Oh, it's lacking there. Maybe watch that which will destroy us. Paul allowed no root of bitterness or anger because Demas left, departed from him. He allowed nothing like that. Hebrews 12:15 says of the root of bitterness, it not only hurts us, but it hurts all other people. The root of bitterness don't stay with us. It poisons the blood. Nobody wants poison in their bloodstream, but that's what it does. It injures our personality. It paralyzes the power that we ought to have to make us a fit vessel for Jesus Christ. That which would refine us. If this isn't taken care of, it will increase and lead us to departure. Paul never gave in or up. And that's one of the things that we need to have present in our lives. We neither give in or give up when we have ourselves on the foundation. The example for us, giving up is departure. Going back to verse 18 in this chapter, says Paul had deliverance and he had preservation. We may not have this book if Paul wouldn't have been delivered from the lion that he speaks about, which was Nero. We would not maybe not have the writings of this book. Life is brief, between the budding and the falling leaf, between the seed time and the golden sheaf. For hate and spite and bitterness, we have no time for malice and for greed. Therefore, with love make beautiful thy deed. Fast speeds the night. Smooth paths are not always safe paths. In them we grow careless, selfish, proud. Then comes the fall or affliction. It is the rough path that makes us cautious, prayerful, dependent upon God. Affliction may press us, they cannot destroy. One glimpse of thy love turns them all into joy. The bitterest tears, if thou smile but on them, like dew in the sunshine, grow diamond and gem. Avoiding the wrong counsel. Psalm 1:1 speaks about wrong counsel. As Jonadab gave to Jude in 1 Samuel 13:5, we have examples of what happens when wrong counsel is given. Corydathan and Abiram, number 6, rebelled against authority and went alive into the pit. That's what happens when we think we know better, like they did. We cannot avoid departure by only being an observer. If we are not involved,
We are at the place of departure, or soon will be. Only being an observer, we may feel we deserve the best. But there's none of us here this morning that deserve the best. We all deserve eternal punishment. Then we are in Christ, then we are free. And then we'll be more than an observer. Adam and Eve chose departure in the garden for one bite of fruit that was forbidden. Lot's wife chose departure from this life for disobedience and looking back. Esau allowed his birthright to depart for one bowl of soup. Achan chose departure for clothes and money he couldn't use, losing all his family and possessions. Samson chose departure from the Nazarite vow by carelessness and keeping the wrong company. David chose departure from God's moral law by taking Uriah's wife in adultery and having her husband killed in battle. Ahab chose departure from this life by coveting Naboth's vineyard, allowing his wife to have him killed so he could have possession. He heard his funeral sermon preached by Elijah in 1 Kings 21:19, where it says, "Your blood will be licked up by the dogs, the same as Naboth's was." Here are some thoughts that should disturb us. What should disturb us the most? A lost soul going to hell, or a scratch on that nice shiny car? Missing a day at work, or a Sunday morning service? Missing a sermon or lunch? The church not growing, or the garden? The Bible not opened, or the newspaper? Church work neglected, or the house, field, and the farm, and such like? Prayer meeting or social gatherings? Those who do not know Jesus Christ are keeping up with the neighbors. The cry of the needy, or the extra we don't use? Are giving decreasing our income? Being late for church service or late for the job? The question is, what disturbs us the most? Let's not let departure have any hold on us. We must have a strong faith that guards against departure or apostasy. Faith keeps communication from being foreign. More holiness give me, more striving within, more patience in suffering, more faith in my Savior, more sense of his care, more joy in his service, more purpose in prayer. More gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord, more pride in his glory, more hope in his word. More tears for his sorrow, more pain for his grief. More meekness in trial, more praise for relief. More purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom for earth stains, more longing for home. More fit for the kingdom, more used would I be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like thee. Wrote by Philip Bliss. If we have accomplished all that this song is saying, then we are stable in life, and we need not be afraid of departure. It should not be a problem to us. Maybe kneel in prayer.